Rome, we thank you that even as we look around the world, we have nothing to fear because we don't have to worry about North Korea. We don't have to worry about what's going on in Washington, D.C. We don't have to worry about what's going on in the Capitol. We don't have to worry about anything. We just need to seek you and know that you have not abdicated. You will not abdicate. And you are God the Father, and your Son is the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords, and he will not fail us. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, I pray that you would just be with myself and with Terry this morning as we lay out what we believe that God has given us for direction to start out and to go into the year 2018. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Several weeks ago, I had the privilege to get together with Pat Bryson and with Steve Grath for lunch over in Sedalia at the only restaurant that I believe is there in this Katy Station. But there are others, but that's the one we always seem to go to. The pies are great. The barbecue is really good, but the pies are great. But as we met afterwards over at Steve's house to just spend time praying and encouraging each other, Pat had a prophecy for me. And in part, what he prophesied was that God's going to give you vision for years to come. So it's not like you're stuck with me for a little while. And that it's going to be first like an overview. That the first part would come as an overview. And then he's going to give you the details of things he has for you. And I'll put in here, I'm kind of giving an overview. And I think Terry is going to get into some of the one of the details for the importance of what's going to be going on. And that there's going to be an expectancy that's going to bring you into that. And that you're not going to miss it. We are not going to miss it. And I know in talking to various people here, there is an expectancy that is arising. There's an expectancy nationally, okay? But there's also an expectancy here that is arising within us. And then about 1 week later, sorry about this. And about 1 week later, I had the privilege of going away for about 3 days down to the lake. Got a little hotel room, motel room, just kind of hid there, laid out and spent time with the Lord. And it was a wonderful time of prayer. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Get away with the Lord from time to time. And it's worth getting out of town, you know, because then you can turn your phone off, you can do whatever, and you don't have to worry about interruptions. Now, if you can do that at your house, then that's fine, but it's very difficult for me to do it at my house and in my office. But I had a wonderful time of prayer, and the Lord and I just had a great time of sharing our hearts one with another, that of sharing my heart and yet listening to him and what he had to say for me and for him and to open up the Bible and to meditate upon scriptures and say, Lord, what are you saying here? And just waiting before the Lord, okay, and hearing his responses. Now, I've heard people say before, you know, I wish God talked to me as much as they talked to the prophets. Well, some of those prophets were around for many years, and all they recorded, if they recorded everything that they heard from God, there was a lot of times they didn't hear from God. Okay, I'm just saying. But there were times where I was just laying before him, just enjoying him. And one of the things I sought from him was the vision, remembering Pat's prophecy, the overview, at least for 2018. And I can say with great confidence, with huge confidence, that what he said to me very clearly was, I want you as a church to explore the height, the depth, the length, and the width of my son Jesus the Christ, which is exactly what Pat prophesied, that he would start off by giving me an overview and that the details would follow. Now, I have to admit, as I heard that, I was overwhelmed. Because there's great height to Jesus. There's great depth to Jesus. There's great width to Jesus. There's great length to Jesus. And as I prayed and I meditated upon God and even some of the prophecies that he has given us, some of the words he's given us, some of the things that are going on nationally, some of the things that are going on, that prophecies in the past that have been over this country, over this city. You know, I have to admit, I'm really interested in what's going on around the world and here and in this country, but I'm really, really interested in what's going on, what God's going to do in Jeff City. Because I think it's going to be really significant, really important. It's going to be a great year. But when you look at all these things, it all fits together. You know, I get emails from this person and that person. Listen to what this person's saying. Listen to what that person's saying. Read this, read that. And I'm trying desperately to read everything that's sent to me. But it's obvious that God's heart is for his children. And God's heart is for those who are not yet his children, that will be his children. And it's God's heart that he wants to use us to help bring those in. I love this Bible study. There's people being invited that may not be really turned on to the Lord. I've got a good friend that went to a home group, thought he was going to a dinner, became a Christian. Mm-hmm. Oh, deception, deception. No, it's not deception. It's what Paul said, be all things to all men that you might win some for Christ. See, Jesus is everything we have been praying for. Everything comes out of him, and I do mean everything. It's he who the whole of the Old Testament pointed forward to. It's he that the New Testament talks about. It's he that the New Testament points back to. I mean, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2:2? For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, how did you find nothing? Nothing. And then Paul also said, Christ is all that matters. Colossians 3:11, New Living Translation. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, or Greek, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us that are his children. See, Jesus is an all-sufficient Savior. All-sufficient. He is an all-sufficient Savior for everyone. He is the answer for everything that you deal with. From him, everything flows. Revival, salvation, healing, power, deliverance, authority, ministry, prophecy. Everything flows from Jesus. Even our free will flows out of the sovereignty of God. As Paul puts it, he holds all things together, which the scientists often call the Colossae effect. Colossians 1:17, and it's from the Berean literal Bible. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I believe that 2018 is going to be a year that you can mark on your calendar as having a significant effect in your lives, to where you will have a significant change in your lives. Here's the kicker. If you want it to be. That's the question you have to answer. Do I want it to be? Do I want the more, or do I want the que sera, sera? And I think I can say this for individually and collectively, and that collectively, that if we choose more, that's what we'll get. If we choose que sera, sera, that's what we'll get. God is calling us to choose what he has commanded us to do. His kingdom over the kingdom of the world. Luke 12:31, New Living Translation. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. That means that's our first priority. And he will give you everything you need. See, the free stuff, this, it all gets back into the free will again. What are we going to do? You know, you got the free will of God, man and the sovereignty of God, and they come together, and somehow or another, the free will of man is able to flow out of the sovereignty of God by his grace. But we have choices to make. See, I really do believe that as we seek Jesus, the King, and his kingdom, God is going to pour out his spirit in a fresh way. But again, we have a part to play. Our part is to get into the Word. That's why I sent out this thing recently where I'm reading through the New Testament 4 times this year and asking people to join me. And I would really strongly encourage you. That's not to ignore the rest of the Bible that you do and so forth. It doesn't take much. 15 minutes a day. Wow, I might miss more part of NCIS. You might be better off. Downhill when DeNoza left. I do believe as we seek Jesus, the King, and we seek his kingdom, of transformation of families and homes, transformations of business, and it's going to be so powerful. That's why we're doing the tracks. Don't stress over the tracks. I'm not anybody special, you know that. But here's how I got my track. I've been praying for about 3 weeks. I haven't sent it to Lisa yet. We'll pick it up again after Pat Rice, and praying, God, help me, help me, help me. 3:15 in the morning, God woke me up, said, go get a pencil and paper. I picked up a pen, wrote it out. Took about 5 minutes. 244 words. Just ask God to help. Ask God to do it. I'm excited because I can't wait to get this thing printed up so I can start handing it out. Because it's just about how good God has been to me in spite of everything, that some of the things I've done, and that I have never forfeited anything, even with some of the stupidity that I've walked in. See, we're also to submit ourselves to the teaching and the wisdom of our Father. We're to submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit into all he has for us. We're to submit ourselves to Jesus in every way, allowing all he is and has for us to flow through us, which I believe will lead to, as he spoke to me while I was on this retreat, that we will reach the lost, that we will see people saved, that we will see people delivered. Again, going back to the tracts, but also just in other ways. That we are going to learn to serve more effectively, to do body ministry, to take care of each other. Look at Acts 2:42 to 47. That's my prayer for this place. Preferring others more than ourselves. The kingdom is not us first. It never is us first. It's never us first. It's always about what we can do to minister to others. Hard pill to swallow at times. Doing outreach, the Matthew 25 stuff. Choosing to be light and salt, salvation. But also growing in the prophetic, healing, deliverance, and other gifts. All flowing out of our Lord Jesus Christ, who holds all things together. I mean, look at who he is. Do you realize that there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 plus names for Jesus or descriptions, however you want to put it, it doesn't matter to me. in the New Testament. I'm just going to read some of them. Almighty One, Alpha and Omega, Advocate. I like that one. Author and Perfecter of our faith. Good one. The Way, Bread of Life, Beloved Son of God, Bridegroom, Chief Cornerstone, Deliverer, Faithful and True, Good Shepherd, Great High Priest, Head of the Church, I Am, King of Kings, Light of the World, Lord of All, Messiah, Emmanuel, our Hope, Great Physician, Sacrifice for our sins, Creator, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and many, many, many more. And we're probably going to get into some of those in the days ahead. See, all of us, all of it which is available as to us as we submit to and seek Him. There's that free will stuff again. What's our choice? There's no condemnation here, okay? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is conviction. And I think that part of what's going on as we lead into 2018 is God's calling us to a higher calling, to a higher standard, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all things, to worship Him. Everything, when you look at the list of 200 names, which all you have to do is Google, and you can come up with them, there's a lot contained in this person, Jesus. See, there has been this kind of ministry and that kind of ministry and this kind of ministry and that kind of ministry that has produced great fruit and then failed. You know what I'm talking about? Because they weren't grounded in Jesus. And God wants us to be grounded in Jesus, and out of that is going to come everything that is within Jesus, which is more than we can even think about. See, when you seek Jesus, you open the door to everything He has, to all the blessings that He has for us, including fighting spiritual warfare the proper way. Who's seen that movie, Darkest Night? Darkest Night?
No,
Hour. Darkest Hour. Who's seen that? You need to go see it.
It's not The Darkest
Hour. Not The Darkest Hour. That's a Western. But Darkest Hour is about Winston Churchill and the first 30 days of a 30-day period of May of whatever year it was. 41. Great movie. In this, there was people that was trying to get him to negotiate with Hitler, which is about the most possessed person I think ever walked this planet, to negotiate with Hitler for peace. And I love his response. His response was, negotiating with Hitler is like putting our head in the mouth of a tiger while trying to negotiate with it. Think about that. Womp. Good head. Bring me more negotiators. We want to seek Jesus so we walk in His power and authority, not put our head in the mouth of the enemy. And as we walk in Jesus and we walk in all He has for us, we'll walk in more power. We'll be able to say to this spirit, go, and it'll be gone. We'll be fasting and praying, and we won't have to deal with what His disciples had to deal with when they couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus came to him and said, well, this kind comes out only through prayer and fasting, because we will have been praying and fasting, and we will just say, gone, and it's gone. Because some of the sicknesses are because of demonic activity. I'm in the category where not all of them are. I'm not saying God gave them to you. I'll let you figure that theology out for your life, for your own life. He at least allowed them. Friend of mine, lady that's the executive director at Pregnancy Hope Center. Her husband had some severe pain, thought it was a kidney stone. He does have a kidney stone. That wasn't the problem. Went to emergency room, Boone Hospital. They wanted to put him overnight. The only place they had to put him overnight due to sickness in this area was St. Louis or Kansas City. All the hospitals in Columbia and Jeff City, the beds were full. You need to be praying over yourself daily. We don't want to put our head in the mouth of the enemy to try and negotiate. We want to do all that we do for God. And I still think that the best way to fight spiritual warfare is to seek God. Yeah, such times you may have to rebuke, you may have to take authority. I'm not saying you don't. But here's a scary thought. Apparently, one can perform signs and wonders and not have a relationship with Jesus. See, this again speaks to why God is calling us to have this solid foundation with Jesus. Matthew 7, 22, 23. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name, which could have been including healing for all I know. And then will I declare to them, Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Matthew 24, 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders in the last days. We're in the last days. So as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. That's you. Maybe Jesus wasn't their Lord. Romans 10, 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't know. But we need to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the reason I advocate you need to be part of a church so you can speak into each other's life. Part of the reason I'm saying you need to talk about, you need to really get into this class and learn how to prophesy so that you can build up and edify, because then you won't walk into that, because your brothers and sisters will be building you up and edifying you too. See, we all will trust in something. We need to trust God in everything. But the question is, who or what do we trust in? I challenge us to ask God that. I admit that there are moments in time where I trust in my wallet more than I do in God. Fortunately, he's gracious and accepts my repentance. But the truth is, trusting in anything less than Jesus is like putting your head in the mouth of a tiger. Or, as Pastor James Jackson puts it, causes you to fall into a ditch. See, we can get into things and so accent them that we fall into the ditch. We want to be focused upon Jesus and go into everything else that he has. And as we center on Christ, I believe we will grow in faith and unbelievable things will be released and happen in our presence. And as we do, the triune God will do here what he desires to do. I believe that. John Wimber, I love the guy. Born again. Grounded in Jesus. His ministry was always grounded in Jesus. Always talking about Jesus. But he always said this. Where's the stuff? You're not going to find that in the Bible. That verse. But you know what he's talking about. But if you're grounded in Jesus, if you're pursuing Jesus, as I look at the New Testament, the stuff's going to come. It's just going to come. You know? So let's pursue what R.C. Sproul pursued. The only sad moment when I was down there on my little retreat was that R.C. Sproul passed away. An amazing man of God. Especially, he wasn't a charismatic, but he had some good stuff. He had a lot of good stuff. But this was what he pursued. This was his vision for his personal life. This is mind-blowing. He wanted a heart stunned and humbled by the transcendent greatness and purity of God, while having an unashamed allegiance to the absolute sovereignty and centrality of God, which we will walk into as we follow God's instruction to explore the height, the depth, the length, and the width of my Son, Jesus the Christ. Important days are ahead. You have choices to make. I'm praying for you, and I believe we'll all make the right choices. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Terry.
Heavenly Father, I come to you humbly and gently and just head bowed, eyes closed, looking to you, Lord God, and asking you to speak today. speak to everyone here, Father, that our eyes would be open, our ears would hear, but most of all, our heart would be broken open to receive what you have to say. Father, I ask for an anointing that I just be an open conduit, through which you might speak and say that which is on your heart, that which you want to say. I give you praise, Lord, and I give you glory. I praise you, Lord Jesus, for salvation, for grace, for mercy. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, pursue love. Pursue, chase, run it down, get it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And if you go on down to verse 3 and 4, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Edification, he edifies. Prophecy edifies us. It exhorts us, which can cover a lot of area, and it comforts us. And at the end of verse 4, it says, but he who prophesies edifies, builds up, strengthens, encourages the church. And who's the church? We are. I'm looking at it here. We are the church. You know, as Gary and I met, and he asked that we do this Sunday where we kind of give what we believe God is saying to Christian Fellowship for the year 2018, we both agreed to pray and kind of go to our corners. And one of the first things the Lord God spoke to my heart is he spoke to me about staying away from others' prophecy. You know, today, with our access to all the internet and Christian TV and all the seminars and webinars and Facebookinars and all the things that are going on, there's just a lot of places that you're going to hear. Because everybody who ministers, who has a following, kind of does this. They go off and they want to get a word from the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me about, you know, where to get a word, but it's to be for Christian fellowship. It's not what they're getting is wrong at all. No, heavens no. But where to have a word, Gary and I, for Christian fellowship. Because you see, one of the easiest things to do is to take somebody else's word that they've received and kind of expand on it. Here, you know, here it is. And that is not what I believe God wanted us to do. And so that's the first thing he spoke to me about. Now, one of the things about looking forward to 2018 is I kind of look back to 2017 and what it was to me. And this is the scripture that I cling to, and I hang on to for 2017 and for this year. It's Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in the 35th verse, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Because you see, as I look back at 2017, here's what I see, physically. Sarah, this last year, had her words twisted and torn apart. Just Susanna, my daughter, had some really evil, absolute, outright lies told about her. Completely. Just told about her. Point blank. To people who had authority over her. Just evil. Jonathan Lacey, my son and his daughter and daughter-in-law, they have been in a battle for their son Isaac. They've not only battled the sickness, they've had to battle the medical community. They have gone, have you ever heard the statement about going to the mat? You know, they have been to the mat this past year in a battle for Isaac and just medical impossibilities. Jacob and Kristen had a whole lot of difficulty. So my prayer and hope for 2018, that brighter days are ahead, that this is a year that will be. Now, I got to tell you something else about 2017. Overwhelming victory. That's that 60-0 score, isn't it? Overwhelming victory. Isn't that what you consider? Just complete annihilation of the enemy. I've seen Isaac grow. He started eating, and you know, if I look like the past 2 months. But anyway, overwhelming victory is ours. I have seen this past year, Gary and I, we don't kibitz. By that I mean we don't get together during the week and say, hey, you know, I usually do a call to worship on Sunday morning, but we don't kibitz what he's going to speak on and what I'm going to say. But yet week after week, month after month, we would have the same word. Overwhelming victory. God's been merciful. I've seen what happened to Susanna. You know what happened to that? It came to nothing. What the devil meant for evil, God turned for good. And I am believing, and I am standing and saying, Isaac is healed in Jesus' name. You can't see with your eyes. You see, prophecy is just that way, isn't it? You can't look with your physical eyes. You can't do it. If you look with your physical eyes, you'll be defeated. You have to see with your spiritual eyes, with the vision God gives. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Amen? So, with that said, I'd like to share what I believe the Lord has spoken to me about what I see as prophetic increase for us here at Christian Fellowship. Now, I believe, and I know it's true, that it's absolutely critical that the areas in our life that are tender to exposure be dealt with that victory as one, so that victory can be won so we move on. You know what I mean by tender? You know what a hot button is? That's a tender spot that you have, I have, we have in our lives. Then when it gets exposed, our defense mechanisms come out. It's tender. It's a raw spot. And we react. And we react in a way that's probably not good. And we have to really gain a victory over that tenderness so that we can move on with God. And the word I have is, he will be dealing with our biggest issues. Are you ready for that? Five areas. five areas I'd like to cover. He will be dealing with our biggest issues. Let's look at these examples. There was a rich young man who came to Jesus one day, and he wanted justification. He wanted to be justified in his life. See, he came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 21st verse says, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." You see, he told Jesus, he said, "I've kept all the rules. From the very beginning, I've kept all the legal rules. I've been good. I'm a good person." But you see, he had a tender spot, didn't he? He was rich with money and he was poor in God. And he went away sorrowful because his tender spot, he couldn't stand to deal with it. Jesus went right to it. Prophetically, he said, "Sell all you have, come follow me." He was money rich and God poor. Example number two. Everybody know who Nicodemus was? Remember? You know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he lived, ate, drank with the Pharisees, and they were the ruling religious rulers of the day, and they had spiritual authority that day. And he came to Jesus, but he had to go outside the camp. He had to sneak out one night to come to Jesus. Because you see, Nicodemus, he knew there was more. And he came to Jesus and he said, "We know you're from God because you do all these miracles, and no one who's not from God cannot do all these miracles." And what was Jesus' response to Nicodemus? John, Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, he said, "I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus wanted the kingdom of God. But what was Nicodemus's problem? He was blind. Why was he blind? He wasn't born again. Blindness comes to all of us in an area of our life. It may not be because we're not born again. It may be because of some other reason. But God's going to deal with the tender issues. Nicodemus needed to begin from the very beginning. He was blind. He couldn't see God. Third example, woman at the well. Samaritan. She came to just get water, didn't she? Middle of the day. And I'm sure she had no idea that this was going to be the best day of her life. You know, she avoided other people because of who she was and what she'd had happen in her life. But you see, she was really, it says, thirsty for God. She was physically thirsty, but she was so thirsty. She had such a hunger for God in her life. She'd been through 5 marriages. She had a God hole. She had a God hole. And she was doing everything she could to fill it. How many of you know that your spouse cannot fill your God hole? How many of you know most people who get into marriage trouble, that's probably their problem? They're trying to fill their God hole with the relationship with their spouse. He can't do it. She can't do it. It was never intended to be that way. I believe, it's not always the case, there are just some people who are boogerheads, but, you know, most people, I believe, this is the heart of the problem in marriages. We can't fill the God hole. Number 4. Peter. Peter and Judaism. Acts, the 10th chapter. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Peter was tied up in tradition and man's laws, legalism. You know, I believe that tender spots, a lot of times, how many have a line in your life that you won't cross? You know, Peter had one. He wouldn't eat and drink with Gentile. And yet, he was an apostle. He was born again. He was spirit-filled. But he had legalism. And then the last one is the prodigal son's brother. You know, the prodigal son went off and spent all his inheritance from his father, which is just a prime example of who people are. You know, it's just a great allegory. And he came back, and the father ran out and embraced him and hugged him and said, "Go kill the fatted calf." And they all came together and were having a party. And the brother who'd never left, who'd stayed home and who'd worked all his life, making sure that the place was taken care of and the father had what he needed and the farm was taken care of and the inheritance that was left was still there. And he came to the father and he said, You never even killed, you know, even a chicken for me. You never did anything like this for me." And yet he goes off and spends, you know, the major portion of the inheritance, and he wastes it on riotous living. And you go out and you kill a fatted calf, and you just do everything for him. And here's where we are. Here's the tender spot. And the father said to him, Luke 15, 31st chapter, and 31st verse, and he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." Now here's the rub. Jesus gave us all authority. He gave us the kingdom of God. He put Holy Spirit within us. And yet, what's the rub? All that he has is ours. The prodigal son's brother wasn't using what God had given him. The anointing, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Guys, here we are. I tend to think we in the church are just like the prodigal son's brother. It's here. It's at hand. It's for us to use. We don't use it. Boy, is that a tender spot for me. That one really rubs me raw, you know. Well, you know how it's church today. No, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not changing. And it just grates. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. It grates me that the kingdom of God, I don't manifest. It's not manifested in my life more. Anyway, five areas. You're talking about money, blindness, looking at all the wrong places for acceptance, filling our God hole, legalism, following the laws, but not the Spirit, and not realizing who we are in Christ Jesus. I believe, now I don't believe this is the only places that God's going to touch our hot buttons, and really not hot button, guys. They're tender spots. They're gentle spots that God, he knows we have them. And just like these people, he didn't let them rest. He didn't let them stay where they were. He brought it to the forefront. It's the first thing he worked with on them, was their tender spots, where they were, where they weren't. where they need to be to come forward and go forward. You know, we're all on a trip, aren't we? We're all on this wonderful adventure called following God and on our way to heaven. And as we go down this river of life, we just keep running into the bank, don't we? And we've got all these things. And God is right there to push us right back out in the middle again where we need to be. But when he does that, sometimes it hits a spot where it's not pleasant. Prophecy exhorts, it builds up. It's just wonderful. But it also exposes. The other thing he talked to me about, number two, was the prophetic increase will not come and will not be as some would believe it would be. It will be as it was for Jesus. How was it for Jesus? Zechariah, the 9th chapter and the 9th verse. New Living Translation, it says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble. Riding on a donkey's colt. I believe this is how God's speaking to us, how prophecy will be to us. 1 Peter 3:4 for us says, "Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart." How many people wear their heart on the inside? And I'm not talking about your physical heart. And not on the outside. You know, they talk about, well, he wears his heart on his shirt sleeve. We don't, not really. We don't walk around with our heart exposed for others. And we can't, you know. I tell you, they'll turn on you and rend you. That's just what Scripture says. "But rather let it be the hidden purse of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit," which is what? Very precious in the sight of God. God's love, pursuing God's love in gentleness and meekness and lowliness are the doors to entering in to prophecy. See, what I've seen in the church, especially with the prophetic, it's like it wants to be done by force. It's just like, kind of like we want to do in our political arena. We want to take over by force. But you see, that's not God's way. He came riding on a donkey. Not even a donkey. The colt of a donkey. Lowly, humble. You know, Matthew 11:11 talks about John the Baptist. And here's the word that I got as an example for us, how it's to be for us. And it says, "There's none greater than John the Baptist born among women." He's the greatest example of, other than Jesus Christ, a man. And one of them, just a sidebar, this is one of Gary's, you know, rabbit trails. It's never recorded in Scripture that he did a miracle. And yet he was the greatest born among men. Just amazing to me. You know, John was in where he did his baptizing. He was down by the creek. And he was baptizing many. And here came the Pharisees, and they came down there to question him. And you know how the Pharisees are. They're in your face. Now, who are the Pharisees? They're the religious leaders, rulers of the day. And why are they coming to question John? They're mad at him. They're jealous of him. I mean, here's this guy. He's off in the wilderness all by himself. He's not holding Saturday meetings. He doesn't have the temple for him to come worship in. And yet they're coming out to him by the droves to be baptized by him. They're coming out there and they say, "Who are you, John? Who are you? Why are all these people coming to you? What is so great about you that all these people are coming to you? What's so great about you?" They're so jealous, they're green. And here they come. Here's what John told them. John, the first chapter, Gospel of John, 26 and 27. John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal. Now that really kind of seems like an odd statement. So the question, are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Who are you? But you see, one of the things that Pharisees had was they had disciples who followed them around. And these disciples would go around and they would do anything that Pharisee asked them. Go get scrolls. Hey, I need some water here. Hey, go get a lampstand, light it up. It's too dark in here. Hey, we're, you know, set up the temple area today. We're going to have a meeting. You guys go get that ready. They were gophers. They would do whatever they want. They were the disciples. But one of the things that the Pharisees would never do and would never ask of their disciples was to untie the latch of their shoe. You see, it was below them. You see, sandals in that day were covered with dirt and animal dung. They were nasty. That's why a lot of people would wash their feet when they went in somebody's home, because your feet were dirty. You'd been walking down the road and you'd been walking through animal stuff, you know, and it wasn't nice. And so it was reserved to somebody who did it. Only the lowest of the lowly slave would untie the latchet of somebody's shoe. And so here were the Pharisees with their disciples, and he's making a statement, and he's trying to get them to understand who he was compared to Jesus. I am not even worthy to untie the latchet of his sandal. It's how we have to see us, ourselves. We're not worthy to untie the latchet of his sandal. Isn't that a great dichotomy? Here we are. He gave us everything. We're his crowning creation. We are made in his very image. And yet John saw himself as Christ's disciple who wasn't even worthy. Oh, the Pharisees got the point. And we do too. John wanted the shock value to make them understand the height of Jesus Christ. The depth, the width, the length. Prophetic increase this year, guys. He will be dealing with our biggest issues. Now, guys, we have to pray into these things. We have to pray into things. Our increase isn't going to come like we think it would come. It's going to come like Jesus, lowly on a donkey. And we've got to consider ourselves and look at ourselves like John the Baptist. Because he was the greatest among men. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I think above all else that you are an amazing, amazing, amazing Father. Your word is truly that light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. You just illumine the way. And your word changes our life and brings us into a new place, Father. And as we go into 2018, Father, let it be so overwhelming victory that the tender spots would heal, that the prophetic would increase, and that you and you alone, Lord Jesus, would be glorified. For you need to be praised and honored. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you are the one that paid the price, that your blood that cleanses us, Lord, and we thank you for it. Take us from where we are to where you want us to be this year, Father. And Lord, we're excited about what you're doing at Christian Fellowship in 2018. And all God's people said, amen.